Amen. Come on, God is good. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever. He's here tonight. Did you know that? He's here because I know he came in with us, but he also inhabits his praises, right? Hallelujah. I believe God delights in us. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I said, I believe that God delights in us. We look at ourselves, and we look at ourselves in the mirror of all of our shortcomings, but the Bible says, I think it's in Zephaniah chapter 3, he says that he dances over us. He shouts for joy over his people, right? And we're his people, amen? So good. Hallelujah. I got to tell you a story about the Blessed Assurance. I was in Bible college, and we had, praise nights, and we had different events, and so we'd often have special singers that would do special songs, and this gentleman got up, and he sang this song I'd never heard before. I thought it was the most beautiful thing I've ever heard in my life. It was Blessed Assurance, but the church I grew up never sang Blessed Assurance. I'd never heard it before, but that song just captivated me, and I had to get it and learn how to sing it, and it just administers life to me every time I do. I just love it. So we've been talking about prayer, amen? How many know that prayer is good? Right? We started out of Ephesians where it says praying always with all prayer in the Spirit. We've talked about being in the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, having the Spirit help us pray. But tonight I want to pray, talk to you about... There was a little book years ago, it was called The Prayer of Jabez. Y'all remember that book, Prayer of Jabez? Well, I'm going to expound on that a little bit. I haven't read the book in years, but I've read the Bible, right? Right, but the Lord has been ministering to me out of the Prayer of Jabez, and it's only two verses in the whole Bible. There's just two verses about him and what he does. It's interesting, though, if you'll turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, it's interesting, though, because I think it's in chapter 2, it talks about the scribes being from the city of Jabez. That's interesting. I've read some commentaries that say the town of Jabez was because that's where Jabez settled. And we're going to see what he prayed and how God blessed that, and that Jabez was a scribe and he had disciples in this town. Anyway, just a little tidbit. But look at chapter 4, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 9. It says, "And now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I've borne him in pain." Wouldn't you like that? You have a child, say, he was a real pain. So every time I'm going to remind him of that, how bad the birth was, how bad the pain was. Every day of his life, he's going to know that I went through something so he could be here. The prayer of Jabez. But watch this. Again, I'm going to read 9 again. "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested." Interesting. He prayed, God blessed me. I think tonight God wants us to expand our thinking and be able to say, God, I need you to bless me. And it's not just bless me so that I can be blessed. Nothing wrong with being blessed. But it's bless me so that I can expand my tent pegs. And when he says expand his tent, that means that he'd have more room in the tent for the blessing. But for us, and tonight I want to talk about this, God wants us to expand, right? so that there can be more room in us and through us to bless people.
Amen.
Right? So God wants us to believe Him for blessing so that we can bless others.
Amen.
Right? And before I've talked about Abraham and how God said he was blessed and that through him all nations would be blessed. And the fact is that we're blessed to be a blessing. But the amount that we believe God can bless us limits us to how much we can bless others. And so we have to get our thinking in line with His thinking. Let's get it straight. Without God, I'm nothing. Right? Without the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, I'm worthless to the kingdom of God. But I'm not without that. In other words, I've been washed in the blood. My sins are forgiven. I am of a child of God. I'm of the kingdom of God. I am blessed through Abraham's blessing. Are you with me? And so I need to see myself that way and to be able to open my eyes and talk to God about God. I need to expand my tent pegs, or look at it this way. I need to expand my sphere of influence. Right? And not just because so that everybody, oh yeah, look at him. There's Bruce, Pastor Bruce. Look at him, he's famous. That's not what it's about. What it's about is I need to be blessed so that I can have influence in so showing somebody else the love of God, showing somebody else the goodness of God, showing somebody else that you don't have to die in your sins, that those have been forgiven. But I need to see, and I say, God, I need you to bless me with favor. I need you to bless me with even finances so that I can help people that need help. I need you to bless me in my thinking. I need to bless you in every area of my life so that I can pass that on and be an example of that to somebody else. So in the prayer of Jabez, it's like, expand me, Lord, bless me. Expand me, God, because I want to be a blessing. I want others to see you in me. Wouldn't it be great and a testimony to say, somebody come up that you hadn't seen for 20 or 30 years, and they look at you and they go, what happened to you? Right? You were a mess when I knew you. There's no way that you could have accomplished what you've accomplished, and there's no way that you could, you know, did you get lucky or something? No, I asked God to bless me, and He did. I ask God to bless me, and He has. I want to give God all the glory and all the credit, but He's blessed me. I found in His Word what to do. I began to do it, and He's blessed me, and He's expanded me, right? How many know that the riches that we have here on the earth, and I don't care if you are Warren Buffett rich, right? Means nothing. Nothing. I mean, he's got billions and billions and billions of dollars to where he's actually got so much money, he's influenced elections in the United States. He's put pressure on different... I mean, he's incredibly, incredibly rich, but the minute that he dies, none of that's going to matter, right? What matters is our relationship in God. But watch this. This isn't in the notes, but... go with me to Proverbs, the third proverb. And many of you will know part of this proverb, but I want to start out in verse 1 because this is kind of the essence of where we're going tonight. Verse 1, it says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Right? If you do things God's way, if you get into His Word, if you begin to meditate on His Word and say, God, I don't want to do it that way. That's not the way I normally do life. That's not how I'm accustomed to doing life. But because you say it, I'm going to change the way that I do life and do it the way you want me to do it. Right? If you do that, he says, the result of that will be length of days and long life, and peace will they add to you. Now look at verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. That's incredible. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. In other words, don't let them out of your sight. your whole life, when you're walking around, when you're making decisions day by day, make sure that truth and mercy are with you while you're living it out. Right? What does truth have to do with it? I want to know the truth, Lord. I don't want to know what I think is right. I want to know what you know is right. Right? How many of you have ever been in an argument you knew you were right? I've been in arguments, I've known I'm right, and I talk to God and I find out, right? There's some things that I'm wrong. And so the truth that we want is His truth and not our truth. You know, again, today in today's society, it's more and more all the time, but they say that truth is relative. You have a truth, I have a truth, why is your truth better than my truth, so on and so forth. But the reality is there is an absolute truth. It's His truth. It's His word is truth. Come on, right? Jesus said that He was the truth, right? The way, the life, and the truth. It is in God. There is a truth. There is a standard. And that's what we have to look after. And God, I want your mercy. But I don't really want mercy. I want to be a giver of mercy. And I want the truth, even if it hurts. Come on. Now look at this. Verse 3 again. Let not mercy and truth forsake you, but bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Incredible. If I have the favor of God, that will cause me to have favor with man. So again, expanding my tent is not a selfish thing. It's a thing saying, God, the only reason that I can even deserve this is because your mercy is upon me. But your mercy is upon me, so God, bless me. And bless me with favor. And how many know that He's already blessed you with that favor? You just got to realize it. So we're talking about expanding the tent. It's God, I'm going to say it this way, God, blow my mind. Blow my mind so open that I can see what the finished work of Jesus did and how it affects me. And again, it's not for my glory, God, because I would have to give you all of the glory because I deserve none of it. I praise you. Do you ever think about this? When we sing it all the time, but it's kind of like, what does that mean? Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. What does that mean? That means make Him big. There are times when I get fine print and I've got a little magnifying glass in my desk, and I have to get that sucker out to find out what that says. But what that means is in my mind, I need to magnify God and His ability to get through to me His blessing so that I can show others how good He is. I know that Jesus loves me. But in Ephesians chapter 3, it says there's something even beyond what I think. There's a width and there's a height and there's a depth and there's a length of the love of God that surpasses knowledge. In other words, this is my box of how much I think God loves me. But He says, no, I need you to expand that a little bit. I need your tent of understanding of what my love is to grow a little bit more, because when it grows a little bit more, you're going to be able to love others a little bit more. You're going to be able to see them the way that I see them. You're going to be able, come on, expand us, Lord. That's not a selfish thing. That's God getting me out of the way and live big on the inside of me. Amen? Go back with me to Genesis chapter 1. See, sometimes, and we've gotten this through religious tradition, and I understand where it comes from, but it's so damaging in some aspects. We think, well, you know, I have to stay humble before God. And humility to some people means broke and walking around with the worst clothes and driving the worst car and just bare, oh yeah, well, I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm living humble. I wouldn't want to have anything better because, you know, I have to be humble for God. Well, I understand that, but that's really kind of stupid. And the reason I say that is because if I read the Bible, every time God blessed somebody, the increase was incredible. Right? Solomon was known throughout the world for his riches and his wisdom. And because he asked God, God, give me the ability, expand my mind to be able to see the truth so that I can judge rightly between your people. That's what he asked for. And God did it, and it blew everybody's mind so much that, like the Queen of Sheba said, I got to find out about this guy. And so she came up with all kinds of what? Blessings, right? To find out how God had blessed him. And so what I'm saying tonight is, God, I need to be bigger on the inside in my viewpoint of who you are and who I am in you, so that others can see just how much you love them, right? And again, Genesis chapter 1. But think about this for a minute. If my focus is on him and his blessing, then he can use me in supernatural ways. Example, pray, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, if that's about me laying hands on the sick in the attitude that I have in a shallow way of thinking of myself, then I'm going to lay hands on you, but it's not going to do much good. But when I can expand the viewpoint that Jesus told me that he would use my hand to transfer his anointing through me to you, and I can believe that, I can ask God to help me to make that bigger so that the anointing grows, so I can bless more people, so that I'm more assured that the next time somebody comes up, come on, I believe that when I touch you, God is going to touch you. And when God touches you, something is going to happen. Come on. I believe that God wants us to begin to expand our thinking. Now watch this. Genesis chapter 1, and let's go to verse 27. You all know this verse, but let it blow your mind a little bit tonight. So God created man in his own image. You know what image means? It means direct likeness. You go to the mirror every day and you don't see you in the mirror. You see an image of you. God made man, you and I, because he made us male and female, in his image. God wants us to see us through him. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, he created them. Verse 28. Then God blessed them. Everybody said, God blessed them. And said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. So God's blessing is not without our participation. Jabez said, bless me, Lord, and expand my tent. He had to buy the material for the tent to be bigger. Are you listening to me? And so what I'm saying is we need to see that God wants to bless us so that we can multiply. And I like this. He didn't say be fruitful and add something. He said be fruitful and multiply. God wants you to be effective in your life, but you need to see yourself in the image that he has of you. And that image that he has of you is his image. What do I mean? Do I mean that we're God? Heavens no. But what I mean is that we're in Christ. The Bible says that my life is hidden in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That when even the devil looks at me, if I'm standing in the authority that I have, he doesn't see me, he sees him. Come on. So he said, go out, be fruitful, and multiply. And then have dominion. You see, there are a lot of Christians who are scared of what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, they're not living this out. Because if they were living this out, they would have dominion rather than letting fear have dominion. Are you listening to me? You have to see yourself and let God expand your view of who you are so that you can see who He's made you to be. Come on. He said, fear not, for I'm with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I'm thy God. I'll uphold thee with my right hand. And then John said it this way in his epistle. He said, the love of God casts out all fear. Why? Because fear has torment. And there's no torment in God. So we have to see ourselves in God in order for us to even feel like we can pray a prayer like, Lord, bless me. But He wants to bless us. Again, look at that. He says, And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So along with that blessing is action. Everything that God promises you, He's going to expect you to do something. Right? Come on. Hallelujah. You say, God, I need you to bless me with a new house. Or God, I need you to bless me with something. And He says, all right. Get a job. Right? And then I'll bless you in the job. But I'll not just bless you in the job, I'll multiply the job. I've told you this story before, but I've got the mic so I can tell it again. I was new as a Christian. I was at a Full Gospel Businessman convention thing in Seattle. And they were going on this trip, missions trip to Honduras. Well, I'd been as far away as Federal Way, I think, but I'd been to Canada and stuff, but Honduras. But they're up there and they say, listen, don't let money be an object. Who wants to go on this mission trip? Well, my heart went, I do. And they said, I'm just 26, 27 years old. And they said, who wants to go? I said, I do. Well, come on up here. We'll pray for you. Don't worry about the money. Just pray. Just come on up. And I'll never forget, I got up there and that guy came and laid hands on me, prayed, and I'm thinking, man, I forget how much it was. Today it would be nothing, but then it was, a lot, and it was a lot to me. I had a lot going on in my life that would say there's no way that this can happen. But I said, God, here I am. Expand my ability to believe that you could get the resources to me so that I could go. That's in essence what I was praying. Expand me so that I can receive the blessing so I can do what you want me to do. Because I can't do what you want me to do based on what I am able to do. Right? So here I am. This is in January. And I was working for a shop in Seattle. And we never got overtime. It was 40 hours a week constantly for all the time that I worked for them. 40 hours a week. Well, in the month of February, we worked every day. And overtime was always double time. So, in a month, I was able to get the money that I needed. Right? God blessed me, but He blessed me with an opportunity to get the funds. Sometimes we say, God bless me, and we're sitting on the couch waiting for it to come when God says, listen, and He drops an idea inside of us. And that idea is the opportunity to go forth and to do something. Does that make sense? So what I'm saying is God will bless us, but then He'll say, you go multiply. Glory to God. Glory to God. How many, and Greg Ware years ago taught this, I'll never forget it. He said, it's God who gives the power to get wealth, right? And the wording in that in the Hebrew is God gives the ability to get wealth. In other words, the seed of what He wants to produce through you is already in you, but you have to do something with the seed. He said, listen, he said, the gospel's got to be preached throughout the whole world before I can come again, so you go. You'll lay hands on the sick, you'll do all this, but you go. You proclaim, you preach, you do, you go. But when you go, I'll be with you. See, I think we limit what God can do in us when we have the perception, well, you know, if God wants me to do anything, He'll just bring it to me and I'll feel this, you know, like a shaft of light come over me and you know, I'll get goosebumps and I'll do all of that. No, God will just put a thought in your heart. You just begin to act on that. And God, expand me. Expand my compassion for people. And help me to get over me so that I can do what you want me to do. What am I talking about? This was years ago. Had a guest minister in, and it was Jerry and I and the guest minister. We were at a restaurant, and I just heard this in my spirit. That I want you to pray for her, the waitress. I want you to pray for her. I've got a word for her. And I'm thinking, dear God, you know, come on, this is a restaurant, Lord. This is out in public, and I didn't know what I was going to say, but I opened my mouth, right? And the Lord said to her, He said, you know, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that He misses you. That you're part of a church or part of a ministry or something, and you haven't been going to it for a while, and God wants you to know that He misses you. She just started bawling. She's working, and tears are coming down her face. Why? Because even though the potential for me to be embarrassed was there, I said, God, expand my thinking so that you can use me at a restaurant and not just at church. And then He blessed me with the word of knowledge, but I had to say it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God bless me. Well, when you pray that prayer, it presupposes that you're going to do something with what He tells you to do or with the opportunity that He gives you. Right? And so we have to be ready and understand that God wants us to be blessed, and He wants us to take that blessing and to multiply it. But we're going to have a part in doing that. Right? You're probably not going to get a phone call from the person that He wants you to bless. Right? I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's usually not the way it happens. It usually He puts somebody on your heart and you call them. Or you do for them. Right? Because He's told you to do it. You'll be blessed for doing it, right? But you have to see God as big, as huge, but also see yourself in that same image. Verse 29 said, God said, see that I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps upon the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And so it was. Verse 31, and then God saw that everything that He made was, and He indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God made you, and He made you good. Let me say that again. God made you, and He made you good. Very, very, very good. Let's get above good to very good, right? Because He made us in His image. So you are not junk. You are not less than. You are not, come on. You're not what somebody else tells you. You're not what society tells you. It's not based on your size, your age, your shape, your gender. It's based on none of that. It's based on the image that you are in Him. Right? And so God, expand that in me. Not so that I can be glorified, but that you can be glorified through me, because I want to do for you. Go to Psalms chapter 8, the 8th Psalm. A Psalm. God, expand us tonight. How many of you ever have thought or had this thought that, you know, we live in this corrupt world, it's getting worse all the time, blah, blah, blah. You look at the news, there's more corruption, there's more sexual sin, the deviance has gone crazy, blah, 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 right? And all that's true. All of that's true. But are you focused on that, the darkness? Are you focused on the fact that Jesus said, you be the light in the darkness? Right? But don't put your light under a bushel. Let it shine. Let it shine. Come on, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Come on, let it shine. Why? Because God wants to use us and bless us so that we can multiply His image. Verse 4, Psalm 8, verse 4 says this, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep, oxen, and every beast of the fields, and the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. See, we are put in a position to dominate. Now watch this. Not dominate each other, but dominate the place that we're standing. I think it was Joshua that God said, everywhere your foot goes, I'll bless it. Everywhere your foot lands, you have the ability to possess it. Where are your feet going today? Where are your feet going tomorrow? And again, it's not like I'm saying, look, I'm the Christian, I'm in here, I'm the big deal, you're not. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, Lord, allow me to expand my view of who you are and the fact that you, Holy Spirit, you live in me and that you want to use me to bless people. Expand me, God, and expand my view. Our prayer should be one of blessing. And watch this. The type of dominion that I'm talking about always brings multiplication. Let me say that one more time. The type of dominion, and that is being in charge of us in our circumstances from the standpoint of our responsibility for God, being in dominion, that always brings multiplication. God wants us to multiply. God wants us to multiply. I mean, He wants us to listen, even in our families, like with our kids, He wants our view of who God is to be multiplied into our kids. But if we don't come to Him with the, Lord, I need that to be expanded. Bless me so that the tent pegs can be pushed out a little bit so that I can know a little bit more, that I can see a little bit more. Then we can't pass that on to our kids because they'll only view what we see. But I want God to expand that. In who? All of us. Every one of us here tonight, everybody watching, God, expand my view. If you look at yourself as nothing, as the reject and the absolute lowest of the low, you're totally mistaken because you were created in the image of God. He accepted you. He said that you are accepted in the beloved. Jesus paid the price, and the price was His life. For you, you don't pay a high price for something that you don't consider be valuable. Right? I got an old truck that's kind of beat up and everything. You're not going to come offer me $50,000 for it. Why? Because it's not worth it. But you're worth it. Because I believe that Jesus would have come to the cross and died for just one of us. But He didn't. He came and died for all of us. We just have to accept that. But once we're believers, we need to say, Lord, expand the view of who I am so that my influence can be different. And God uses different things to do that. right? Peter had to go hide from a teenage girl for God to show him his heart so that Jesus could come say, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Then go feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Jesus, yeah, I love you. You know I love you. Then go feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Oh, Jesus, you know I love you. Why do you keep asking me? You know that you know that you know. I want you to know that I love you and that you love me to the point where you'll feed the sheep rather than being worried about your own reputation. Feed my sheep. Okay. What might cost you everything? Feed my sheep. All right. I'm on it. I need my heart to be expanded to understand that God has me so that I can be completely His, you know, ambivious to the harm or what others are saying, what others want to do about me. I can be ambivious to all of that because I know that He's with me. He's for me. God, use me today. Get the pride out of the way. Go to Luke chapter 19. God wants you to do something with what He gives you. Let me say that one more time. God wants you to do something with what He gives you. But if you don't know that He's given you anything, how could you do anything with it? If you don't feel like that you're worthy enough for His gifts to be operated through you, then you'll just pass that on to somebody else. Well, that's for the pastor, or that's for the apostle, that's for the evangelist, that's for the, you know, anointed prophetess. That's no. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that He gives gifts to everyone for the good of everyone. But if you don't see a gifting that God could use you in, then you need to have your tent pegs pushed out. Because God wants to bless you so that He can bless others through you. Right? The word of knowledge or the word or the working of miracles or the gifts of healings or any of the gifts of the Spirit, discerning of the spirits, shouldn't be for you so that you can put it on a card somewhere and say, I operate in all nine gifts of the Spirit. Well, whoop-de-doo. Right? It should be, God used me yesterday and it set somebody free. God used me yesterday and it brought my brother was confused. He's no longer confused. God used me today to be the answer to my sister's prayer. God used me. Glory to God. God, I want to be expanded so that I can be used more. Luke chapter 19, go to verse 12. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. You know who that's talking about? Jesus. Think about it. Read that again. It says that a certain man, nobleman, went into a far country, went to heaven, to receive for himself a kingdom, which he did. When the blood was accepted, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, right? For himself, a kingdom, and to return. He's coming back. You know Jesus is coming back. Soon and very soon, we are gonna see the King. Yeah, soon and very soon, we are gonna see the King. Hallelujah. He's coming. So he called the 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Jesus is up in heaven, but he left his body a task to do. Right? Who did he leave that to? All of us. If you're a believer, then you're in the family of God. You are part of the body of Christ, and God wants to use you for his kingdom. Hallelujah. Do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So it was that when he learned this, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant, because you are faithful in very little, I'll give you authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, You also shall be over 5 cities. But then another came, saying, Master, here's your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I had feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you do not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, Out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Then why did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? Here's what I'm saying. God has given us a job to do, and He's given us talents to do it with. And He wants us to put it into practice so that we can multiply what He's given to us. What's He given to us? He's given to us forgiveness. Put it into practice so that we can multiply forgiveness. Not only that we can forgive as He forgave, not only that we can love as He loved, but that others can see that they're forgiven. Come on, let it be an example. I know Jesus loves you. Why? Because He loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus forgives me. Somebody say, well, I don't know, God would never use me. Listen, dude, He's using me. Right? And if He's using me, He can use you. If Peter could be used by God, then I've got a chance. Right? And so the point is, God, expand my view of who You say that I am. Expand me. Now let's look at one more, and before we close, go to 2 Timothy. Listen, don't just take the word tonight and do nothing with it, but just go say, Lord, I need to You to show me who I am. Expand my vision of who You've made me to be in the body of Christ so that, God, I can multiply what You've given to me into the world. See, I believe that tonight. I believe that tonight. I believe that God wants to use you tonight. How are we going to grow the church? The only way the church is going to grow is we're multiplied inside. You know, that we really truly believe that we have the answer. That we really truly believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. And it's true. It's truth. Look at chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is also in you. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Stir up. He said, listen, I laid my hands on you and I know God departed something in you. Stir that up. Why do you have to stir it up? Because it's settled to the bottom and you're doing nothing with it. Right? Have you ever had that yogurt that all the fruit's in the bottom and the yogurt's up on the top and there's a little white stuff on top of that? Oh, God. But if you don't stir that up and you just take the first bite, you're going, oh, man, I don't want nothing to do with this yogurt. But if you stir it up, then you're going to taste all that it's worth. Come on. And eat it as it was intended. God has deposited in us some things, but we have to stir it up. How do we stir it up? By reminding ourselves what God has said about us. And then expanding that. Say, no, I'm not useless. I'm not helpless. I'm not by myself. God is with me. God is for me. God will use me. Right? because I want to be a blessing. God, bless me so that I can be a blessing. Oh, hallelujah. Now go to chapter 4. Even in the things, there are people who say, you know, God used me when I was in my 20s. God used me when I was in my 30s. God used me when I was 40s. God used me when I... Quit letting age be a determining factor of whether or not God can use you. Quit letting anything besides what He has said be a determining factor on whether or not He can use you. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And when they turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, fulfilling your ministry. See, God has given us a ministry. Expand my heart, expand my mind, expand my faith, Father, so that I can be used in a greater capacity. And so I would remind you today, has God used you in the past? Those gifts and callings are without repentance. They're still there today. And He wants you to begin to get up and start being used again. Start expecting God to use you again. Yes, remember the days of old, and remember that outpouring. Remember that, you know, when you laid hands on somebody and demons came out of them, or you laid hands on them and they were, you know, laid out on the floor, and where God really blessed them and they went down one day way and came back a completely different way. Or the time that God used you to feed so many people, and it was like, how are we keep feeding them? It's amazing, God. Use those as examples, but stir that up and say, God, if you did it before, you'll do it again. Rather than limiting yourself to the ability that you have right now based on what you have, start basing things on what He has and expect Him to bless you so that you can be multiplied. We have the women's retreat coming up, and all those you're watching, make sure you go. If you're not signed up, get signed up. You need to be there. Anyway, enough of that. But watch this. Zoanne Wilkie was our guest speaker at one of our first ever retreats. The first ever, yeah. She was, and so Renita took up an offering for her. And they counted it and they put it in the basket and they put it in the envelope. But by the time it got to me to where we could, actually, I think at that time we just gave her the envelope, didn't we? We just gave her the envelope. Well, Renita counted it. Somebody was with her. They counted it. They put it in the envelope and they gave it to her, and it was a certain amount. Well, by the time she opened it up at home, I don't know, was it double? Was it? I don't know, but there was a lot more money in there than what we gave her. That's a miracle. I said, that's a miracle. Can God do that again? So it's not based on your ability to bless somebody with the resources that you have. You have to start expanding your mind to say, God, you can bless others through me with your resources. I'm just a candidate to be used by you. Another story, and I'll quit. Have a good friend, and he doesn't listen, so you know, but his name is Mark. He was over at our house the other day. We hadn't seen him for a long time. But years ago, we had a little church, I mean, really little church in Belfair. And we had the guest speakers there that night, at that weekend. And Renita and I invited the guest speakers over to the house for dinner. And we said to Mark and his wife, you need to come. And he says, oh, no, I don't want to come. He says, you know, you just be with the guest speaker. I said, no, you're coming. I felt, you need to come. So he and his wife came, and he told me that he was getting up to leave. And this older gentleman that was part of the family reached over to him and gave him a word from the Lord. listen to this, gave him a word from the Lord, and that word changed his whole life. It had to do with buying property even if you didn't have money. And like within a few days, a few weeks, a piece of property came up that he didn't have the money for. But because he had that word and he had asked God to bless him, he acted on that, and God has blessed him and multiplied it over and over and over and over again. What am I saying? God wants to use us to bless others even beyond our ability to bless them. But we've got to expand the tent. Right? God, bless me. Bless me. Bless me. Bless me. Not just so that I can drive a Cadillac. That wouldn't be bad. But not just for that. But so that others can see your blessing upon me. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I ask you to bless me. You've already blessed me, Lord. I could just go on all night about how blessed that we are. But I'm believing here for your blessing so that it can be a testimony to all of those who don't know you. Bless me in my view of who you are. Bless me in the view of who you see me to be. Bless me, Lord, with the gifts of the Spirit. Bless me, Lord, with boldness to preach your word. Bless me, God, in every area. So that when others say, you're blessed, I can say, yes, but it's He who's blessed me and not me. And He'll bless you the same way. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone that's listening tonight. I thank you for touching them. I thank you for being with them. I thank you for being with us. If Jesus isn't your Lord, it's time for you to just get on your face before God and say, Lord, I need a Savior. I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come and be Lord of my life, and I will lay my life down to live for you for the rest of my life. Lord, I thank you for ministering to all of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen.